Differentiating between fad diets, prescriptive diets, and dysfunctional diets. A fad diet can be described as a diet that is promoted in the media or the fitness industry, to name a few, and is followed or promoted by famous people like well-known celebrities. They're usually low calorie and create an energy deficit where a person loses weight quickly. It sometimes has a little benefit to the health of the person following it, and in some cases it can lack the recommended macro and micronutrients, and it can involve cutting out a full nutritional group, i.e. the Atkins diet. It is usually devised for profit. A prescriptive diet. This kind of diet is prescribed by a person in the medical profession, which includes a dietitian. They have the appropriate qualifications to do this. It will be recommended for a person with a certain condition to eliminate or consume more or less of certain nutrients, and the patient following the diet will be monitored and updated if medical advances modify or find changes to certain elements in the diet prescribed. It is a diet that can be trusted to help a person manage their illness or to cure the symptoms that certain food sources cause. A dysfunctional diet. It can be defined as dieting, fasting, binging, or skipping meals, or it can mean overeating or undereating much more or less than the body wants or needs. Rather than a functional diet, where a person eats the right amount of all the macro and micronutrients for energy and remains in a healthy weight range, where food equals fuel for energy, growth and repair, and for optimal bodily function. On the other hand, a dysfunctional eater eats less for nourishment and more for purpose of reshaping the body for thinness, i.e. an eating disorder, or overeating, which can be to relieve anxiety or stress, or just due to the rise in takeaway food, eating for convenience and taste and with no thought of the nutrients they are consuming. This over time can lead to weight gain, and this can lead to a person being classed as overweight. On the body mass index scale, which is available on the NHS website, you can work out your own BMI. A range of over 25 to 29 is classed as overweight. A person then consuming too many calories could then potentially go into the obese category, which is a BMI of 30 plus. From the three diets I've just described, to sum it up in a paragraph, a fad diet is a one that has no scientific evidence that it benefits a person to have optimal health. A prescriptive is the opposite. It can only be recommended by people with the relevant qualifications and is designed for a person to have the best diet to manage their illness and is monitored. And a dysfunctional diet is a diet that can be referred to as broken, that it does not provide the right balance of nutritional components for optimum health, and it can in fact damage a person's health. A fad diet that I have researched is the apple cider vinegar diet. What it claims is that by having 1 to 3 tablespoons before a meal of apple cider vinegar, as well as following a balanced healthy diet, it can help to lower blood glucose levels and help with diabetes. It was written by Dr. D.C. Jarvis and published in 1958. The diet also recommends that you should have between 1 and 3 tablespoons before every meal. The theory behind it, aiding with weight loss, suggests that fermented and pickled products that contain vinegar with acetic acid may help people feel fuller and lower the blood sugar responses after a meal. Acetic acid, a compound found in apple cider vinegar, has been cited in some studies as the active ingredient that helps with weight loss. One study over a 12-week period with 3 groups, they were given 15 millilitres or 30 millilitres of apple cider vinegar, or a group that had a placebo. Overall, those who consumed 15 or 30 millilitres of vinegar had a lower body weight, smaller waist, and less abdominal fat than those who did not have the vinegar. According to the European Journal of Clinical Nutrition, 2005, vinegar supplementation lowers glucose and insulin responses, and it increases how satisfied somebody is after a meal. Its objective was to investigate if acetic acid supplementation as a means of lowering the GI of a bread meal. In this study, 12 volunteers were then given different volumes of vinegar containing the acetic acid with the consumption of white wheat bread containing 50 grams of carbohydrate after fasting overnight. Blood samples were then taken within 120 minutes for analysis of glucose and insulin. The results indicated that it can lower a person's blood sugar after consuming carbs, and overall the volunteers felt more satisfiably full after having the vinegar with the bread than without. But currently there is not a lot of evidence to back this theory and show that it is an aid to use for weight loss. The prescriptive diet that I've researched is celiac disease. Celiac disease affects 1 in 100 people. It's a lifelong autoimmune disease caused by a reaction to gluten. This is a protein found in wheat, rye, barley and oats. Although there is debate if oats are foods to be avoided or have they just been contaminated. The intestines cannot absorb food properly. Symptoms can include diarrhea, vomiting, stomach cramps, mouth ulcers, fatigue and anemia. It can also cause a rash called dermatitis herpetiformis. When the NHS 2018 describes this rash, the rash is itchy and has blisters that burst when scratched. It usually occurs on your elbows, knees and buttocks, although it can appear anywhere on your body. And also, according to the NHS website, it's estimated that around 1 in 5 people with celiac disease will also develop the rash linked to it. There are more serious side effects to a person's health if they have celiac disease. Over time, they can become malnutritious. This, according to the NHS, is due to the digestive system being less effective. This can lead to deficiencies due to malabsorption due to damage caused to the large intestines. Other conditions that can occur is developing osteoporosis, becoming lactose intolerant, which does long-term damage to the body, but again causes vomiting and diarrhea, and in rare cases the increased risk of developing some cancers, including small bowel and non-Hodgkin lymphoma. According to the NHS, the only relief from celiac disease and the symptoms is to follow a lifelong gluten-free diet. It has been shown that within a few weeks, a person with celiac will see an improvement in their condition, no longer suffering the side effects. And by following a gluten-free diet will allow existing damage to heal and prevent further intestinal damage. The NHS explains findings that a person who follows a gluten-free diet will, after 3 to 5 years, no longer have a greater risk than the general population of developing the cancers associated with celiac disease. The NHS also states that it is in law that food labelling as gluten-free can contain no more than 20 parts per million of gluten. It has been shown that if a person following a gluten-free diet does consume food or beverages containing gluten, the symptoms of the inflammation will reoccur, proving that a gluten-free diet is an effective way of treating this condition. Unfortunately, statistics on the NHS website show that 1 in 140 people who already have celiac disease, they have a chance of developing a condition called refractory celiac disease. This is a rarer type of celiac disease, and even after switching to a gluten-free diet, sufferers will continue with symptoms. A study conducted in the 1950s using samples from blood stores from the US Air Force recruits compared blood samples with recent recruits, and findings show that 0.2% had the gene responsible to celiac disease 50 years ago. And now this has risen to 0.9% of US Air Force recruits today. which in this study shows that the disease has quadrupled over the last 50 years. A theory, according to Davis, is that prior to the 1940s, there had been little change in wheat flour for 200 years previously, and now there are 22 to 25,000 varieties of wheat which are the result of human interventions, which he implies that the new varieties and the proteins that they express are either unique or in some way harmful. He also suggests theories ranging from factors in the environment and oxidative stress to the hygiene theory and changes in the gut microbiome. The functional diet that I have researched is the standard American diet. The first 50 years of this century was focused on essential elements in a person's diet, mainly concentrating on vitamins and how any deficiencies of certain vitamins could lead to disease. The emphasis was on being malnutritious. However, from the 1970s there has been a dramatic shift in research looking more at how disease links to being over-nutrition and is now a major public health concern. Consuming more calories than the body needs, which can be defined as total daily energy expenditure, the body consumes too many calories, which in turn leads to the storing of fat. Between the year 2000 to 2005, the population with a body mass index, or BMI for short, over 50, which is clinically obese, has increased by 75%. The government has a tool which people can use to calculate their own BMI. This can be found on the NHS website. To calculate this, it's a person's weight in kilograms divided by a person's height in metres squared. Dramatic changes in how people spend the money, according to the President Council on Fitness, Sport and Nutrition 2018, the average American is spending more of their income on food outside the home. This is on fast food and takeaways. This change in behaviour could explain the rise in obesity. A factor could be the Green Revolution, which saw how industry used interventions and how they cultivated techniques and how by using fertilisers on crops saw the yield substantially increase. This has had a knock-on effect that has led to the decrease in costs. Since 1996, the commercial food establishment has increased by 75%, but also the rise in other retail establishments selling food as a secondary business, like a hardware store or garage, all encourage impulse buying, with vending machines or confectionery put near checkouts. These food sources tend to be highly processed, non-perishable, that are high in fat and sugar and have very little nutritional value. Another factor could be the huge rise in portion size. Typically, restaurants now serve portions that are 5 times in excess to what the body requires. Food portions in shops have also increased, as shops now tend to be bigger, therefore making it easier to store food in larger quantities. Even with these environmental changes, this doesn't directly explain why people are consuming more food. It has been researched to show that food images are artificially stimulating people to feel hungry and over-consuming calories. Therefore, this change in behaviour with the rise in food establishments are all contributing to the rise in people with a BMI of over 30, which is the definition of obesity. As all of these excess calories get stored as fat unless they're used as fuel, and since the 1950s again, to environmental factors, which have seen the advances in technology, which has led to labour-saving devices and shortcuts, i.e. computers in the workplace, replacing people walking to talk to each other, being replaced by an email, housework chores being made simpler, all leading to a more sedentary lifestyle. According to the World Health Organization 2018, people on low incomes are also more likely to become obese, as healthy food tends to be less convenient, less accessible, and more expensive. One study shown in France between 1997 and 2012 The lowest income group became obese more than three times faster than those in the two highest income groups. This means the gap is increasing between the poor, who are getting steadily more obese, and the rich, who remain near a healthy weight, resulting in an even steeper gradient. Between food consumption and any link to diseases. I've chosen to investigate diabetes type 2. This condition develops when glucose in the blood is not controlled correctly by the release of insulin from the pancreas. According to the World Health Organization 2019, the link of being overweight and obese has a strong link to the rising population now with this health condition. Currently, one in every 100 people in the UK are now diagnosed with this disease. However, it is estimated that nearly as many people live with it undiagnosed. According to the World Health Organization, the world's population with diabetes type 2 has quadrupled since 1980. Population growth and the ever-increasing age of the population is a factor, but a worrying factor is that it is considered to be the result of excess weight and less activity, which means people's lifestyle choices are to blame. Statistics from the World Health Organization states over the past three decades, the rise of diabetes has risen substantially in countries at all income levels, mirroring the global increase in the number of people who are overweight or obese. The global prevalence of diabetes has grown from 4.7% of people in 1980 to 8.5% in 2014. It was the seventh leading cause of death in 2016. So what causes a person to develop this disease in the first place? It's a condition that affects how the body uses carbohydrates for energy. The body's main source of energy comes from carbohydrates, which are turned into glucose in the body. For glucose in the bloodstream to enter the body's cells, the release of the hormone insulin produced in the pancreas is required. So how does what you eat contribute to a person developing this disease? As a diet high in calories, leading to a positive energy balance, which occurs when your energy input is greater than your energy output. Food intake is strongly linked to obesity, overconsuming more calories than your body needs. Your body stores excess energy or calories as fat, which results in weight gain. High intake of red meat, sweets and fried food contribute to the increase, the risk of insulin resistance and type 2 diabetes. According to the NHS 2018, a body mass index, or BMI for short, is measured on a scale using the calculation, and having a reading over 25 is considered as overweight and 30 is considered obese. Fat cells in your body interfere with the action of insulin and it causes the pancreas to stop producing enough insulin. This causes high glucose level in the blood, and regularly having high blood sugars levels for long periods of times can result in premature dying and other life-limiting conditions, such as permanent damage to the eyes, which can cause blindness, nerve damage, which can lead to lower limb amputations, damage to the kidneys leading to kidney failure, and damage to blood vessels leading to heart attacks and strokes. Research shows that during the First World War, in countries where there was a food shortage, the diabetes mortality rate dropped from 23.1% for every 100,000 people to 10.19, leading us to believe that when food portion size is reduced, so is the amount of people with diabetes. One way in which you can be diagnosed is by a blood glucose test, also known as a blood sugar test. At a GP surgery, a sample of blood will be taken after you've fasted for 8 hours. This tests for the amount of glucose in the blood. You are then instructed to consume a high glucose drink. And after a 2-hour period, you will be tested again to see the effect that consuming sugar has on your blood glucose. There is also a test called HbA1c. This checks the average blood sugar level over a 3-month period and is done by a blood test in your GP surgery. For people who are already diagnosed with diabetes type 2, they can administer the test themselves with a glucose meter. Here, a person pricks a finger with a lancet and places a drop of blood on a disposable test strip which contains chemicals that react with glucose. You do this several times a day to determine what, if any, adjustments you need to make to your diet or whether you need to control your sugar levels with treatment, i.e. self-administering insulin. The Diabetes Control and Complication Trials 1993 showed that good glucose control using home monitors led to fewer disease complications. According to Wask et al. 2017, awareness about diabetes complications and consequent improvement in dietary knowledge, attitudes and practices leads to better control of the disease. It has been observed that consumption of fruit and vegetables may protect the development of diabetes, as they are rich in nutrients, fibres and antioxidants, which are considered as protective barriers against the disease. According to Diabetes UK 2018, 60% of cases of diabetes can be prevented. The NHS 2018 recommendations are to lose weight if necessary. Again, to see your healthy weight, use the BMI calculator. Maintain a healthy weight. To do this, eat a healthy, balanced diet, as well as the government's recommendation of 2,000 calories per day for a woman and 2,500 calories for a man. You can calculate a more accurate figure of the calories that you should consume using the Scofield's calculator. Nutritionists advise that nutrition is very important in managing diabetes. Not only the type of food, but also quantity of food, which influences blood sugar. Meals should be consumed at regular times with low fat and high fibre and antioxidants, which are considered a protective barrier against the disease. It is also recommended to move more. This can help create a negative energy balance, which can help with weight loss. The government recommends that adults should participate in 30 minutes of physical activity per day on at least 5 occasions per week. The next diet that I have researched is colorectal cancer, also known as bowel cancer. According to the NHS 2018, the exact cause of bowel cancer is still unknown. However, research has shown several factors may make you more likely to develop it. Cancer occurs when the cells in a certain area of your body divide and multiply too rapidly. This produces a lump of tissue known as a tumour. Most cases of bowel cancer first develop inside clumps of cells called polyps on the inner lining of the bowel. However, it doesn't necessarily mean you'll get bowel cancer if you develop polyps. Some polyps regress and some don't change. Only a few grow and eventually develop into bowel cancer over a period of several years. Bowel cancer can be hard to detect, therefore the government introduced the fecal immunochemical test, FIT for short, which detects hidden blood from the stool, which is an early symptom of colon cancer. The test is able to identify blood that is secreted in the lower intestines. The test does not determine if you have colon cancer. It indicates that you may require further testing in the form of a colonoscopy. This is a more in-depth test introduced for people over the age of 55. The test is carried out in a hospital. A thin, flexible tube with a camera at the end is used to look inside your bowel. The World Health Organization has conducted a study and has come to the conclusion that eating red meat is likely to increase your chance of getting colon cancer. The World Cancer Research Fund has recommended limiting intake of red meat to less than 80 grams per day, and the Cancer Research UK 2018 advises to limit it to 70 grams per day. The average UK population are consuming 140 grams per day, and it is advised that people should look at reducing this amount. Studies are yet to prove solely that what you eat causes colon cancer. Another factor could be that people who develop colon cancer might not consume enough fruit and vegetables in their diet, or fibre, which is recommended by Cancer UK. Current research is being carried out, as the role of some parts of our diet remains unknown or uncertain. But researchers are certain that there is a link between red and processed meat and bowel cancer. Many studies have shown that eating lots of bread and processed meat increases the risk of bowel cancer. It's estimated that around 1 in 5 bowel cancers in the UK are linked to eating these meats. According to Cancer UK, 54% of bowel cancer can be prevented, as some causes are found to be age, genetic, etc., and that 28% is caused by eating too little fibre, which is known to keep the bowel healthy. 13% is caused by consuming too much red meat, and 11% is caused by obesity. By keeping to a healthy diet where the energy balance remains equal and following the Healthy Eating Plate Guide, all can help an individual reduce their risk of developing this disease.
Welcome today. I'm Peter with the Vegetable Care County.